Back some years ago, I was reading my second favorite book in the Bible, 1 John, and I was reading my first favorite book in the Bible, James. I was reading them together, and it was actually in a class here at Westside, and I was looking up the Greek on some of it, and I noticed that some of the Greek words weren't translated in my New King James. They would have two Greek words and then one English word. And I'm like, hey, what happened to that other word? Seems like God probably put that in there for a reason. I want to know what's going on there. That got me digging in to 1 John 3 and noticing just how differently it was translated. In some cases, all the words had corresponding English words. In other cases, they didn't. And then all of the cases, the words they translated didn't match. And I'm like, well, what is going on here? So in 1 John 3, with what we were studying last Sunday, in verse 4, it says, whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law, for sin is the transgression of law. That's out of the King James Version. Whoever commits sin transgresseth the law. In the New King James, which was the Bible that I normally use back then, it says, whoever commits sin also commits lawlessness, and sin is lawlessness. And then in the New American Standard Bible, it says, everyone who practices sin also practices lawlessness, and sin is lawlessness. Now that alone, the fact that it's do and transgresseth in one, and it's commits in the other, and it's practices in the other, would be enough. But then down in verse 7, it says, little children, let no man deceive you, that whoever doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. And in the New King James, it says, little children, let no one deceive you, he who practices righteousness is righteous, just as he is righteous. And then it reads basically the same in the New American Standard Bible. Now that's peculiar, because up to this point, I'd almost always used the New King James. New King James was our pew Bible in the congregation I grew up in. I was given a New King James as a birthday present before I could read. And that was the Bible that I used. That was like the exact same physical Bible I used through learning to read and through being baptized. And here's a word, and when I look at the Greek, it's the exact same Greek word, and it's translated do, commit, practice. But in the Bible I was using all of the time, it was translated commit when it talks about sin, but practice when it talks about righteousness. And that's an inconsistency that God, Jesus, through the Holy Spirit, did not have in the Greek language. In the Greek language, it's the exact same word. And that word most closely translates to do or make. It's pretty generic. So I went there thinking to myself, and it's all throughout the Bible, because how often do you use the word do or make, right? All the time. So it's used tons of places in the Bible, and it's almost always translated do or make. So what were the translators of the King James Bible thinking about when they went here and did it differently? And I thought about this for years, 20 years apparently. I've thought about this for years. And the conclusion I came to was that they were trying to fight a false teaching. Not unlike John was trying to fight a false teaching in 1 John, trying to fight against Gnosticism. I think the thing that they were trying to fight against was the idea of being 51% righteous. Because people looked, and they looked at something that could be translated do, or could be translated commits, or could be translated practice, which all practice means is do repetitively, right? What is your practice? This is my practice. It's what I normally do. That someone thinks to themselves either one of two extremes. They think to themselves, well, I do sin. In chapter 1, he said, if you say you don't sin, you're a liar. And if you're a liar, lying's a sin. So you're a sinner either way. So I sin, therefore I must not be Christ-like. And they think themselves completely divorced from Christ-likeness to the point of, what's the point? I can't be like Christ. And that's not the message here. But then the other extreme is, well, I practice righteousness most of the time. A nice solid 51% of the time I practice righteousness. And if I'm more on that righteousness side, then I'm good and I'll be okay. And that's not what they're talking about either. What they're talking about is what John started talking about back in chapter 1, which is your walk. And the Greek word walk is comprised of two other Greek words. One means to tread. And so to tread, a lot of folks would say, well, that just means walk. But the other word that's tied with the word that translates walk adds the concept of purpose and direction. So you wouldn't use that word if you were just kind of milling around a party, you know, trying to avoid people. That's something I do, mill around parties and try to avoid people. You wouldn't call that walking in this sense of the Greek word. When I walk, I'm going from point A to point B. That's the word that's used here for walk. I'm walking a path. If I am wandering, I'm not walking a path. If I am supposed to be walking a path and I start wandering, I've ceased to walk the path. And that's the point that he's trying to make. And that's the point that he's trying to make when he comes over here and he talks about doing sin and doing righteousness. Whoever does sin does lawlessness. Whoever abides in him does not do sin. And whoever does sin has neither seen him nor known him. Let no one deceive you. He who does righteousness is righteous just as he is righteous. Well, how was he righteous? How was Jesus righteous? He was perfectly righteous. He didn't do sin. So when you do righteousness perfectly, then you're doing righteousness like Jesus. You're walking in light. And how do you know when you're not walking in light? When you're no longer on that path. So why did the other translators translate it practice? Because of the other extreme I talked about. Because of the people that aren't having the problem with the 51%. Well, I'm 51% good. I'm ready for heaven. They were the ones that I'm 1% bad. There's no way I'm making it into heaven. And they were trying to convey it's a pattern of doing. It's the walk. It's the thing he talked about in the first chapter. And it has to do with your attitude towards sin. So when you think about it like practice like that, and you think about anything you're practicing that you want to be good at, I mean good, like you're trying to be a professional athlete, or you're trying to have the best garden, or you're trying to write the best computer program, or you're trying to play a video game perfectly, or you're trying to bake the perfect cake. I don't care what you're trying to do. Whatever you're trying to do, and you're trying to do it really well, what is your attitude towards anything that keeps you away from being really well? And what is being really well? It's righteousness. What's keeping you away from having the right swing of the baseball bat? What's keeping you away from having the best flavor and the best size and such with the vegetables in your garden? What's keeping you away from that? And you find out something that's keeping you away from that. What is your attitude towards it? So I'm going to use baseball as an example. I apologize to everyone who doesn't like baseball. But you're sitting there and you're doing a swing with baseball. There are tons of mechanics. The human body is incredibly complex. You've got the angle of your body the angle of your shoulders, your elbows, how you pull, when you pull, the direction you pull, all these different factors that go into it. And people practice ages to get that motion perfect in baseball or golf or whatever in the world, to get that motion perfect. And the people that want to be perfect, when someone that knows better than them comes to them with a truth that they didn't understand before, they want to discard that thing they were doing before that kept them away from righteousness. And they want to adopt this new thing that they now understand is righteous. But they've been swinging that bat, or they've been growing that garden, or they've been cooking that cake the same way in that aspect for ages. And it's hard to just stop and do it the new way. By default, you'll fall back into that groove you were in before. By default, you'll use the same amount of ingredients you did before, or cook it the same amount of time as you did before. And when you're practicing that baseball swing, and you catch yourself doing it the old way that wasn't right, but you didn't know it wasn't right, and now you know the right way, you're like, oh, no, 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 no. I got to do it the right way. I've got to do it the right way. You got to focus like that. And that has to be your attitude towards sin. When you find out something's right, it needs to bother you when you don't do that right thing. We know that. I was reading my favorite book, James, right? And James says, the one who knows the right thing to do and doesn't do it, to him it's sin. So you make that correction in your life. Your practice was to swing this way, but now your practice is to swing this new way. Do you always do it? No, but that's your practice, and it bothers you when you do it wrong. And you say, I'm not going to do it again, and you try again to do it right, and you keep trying to do it right, and you make a new practice. But we use the example of milk, and we ask, how much filth would have to be in the milk, or how much poison would have to be in the milk before you're like, I'm not drinking that? That's where we get back to the 1%. It's not that the 1% means it's hopeless, I'll never be perfect. It's that the 1% is filth and poison that I need to get out. And so you work to get it out, and you get it out for a time, and it sneaks back in, and it bothers you, and you work to get it out. But your practice is to keep the milk pure. If you have a practice that has you hanging on to a sin, then the milk isn't pure. If your practice is to be righteous 99% of the time, but you have a practice for that other 1% of the time. If you plan to sin on a monthly basis, a weekly basis, a daily basis, you might say to yourself, you plan to sin? Sure. People plan to sin all the time. You can think about habits that are maybe more upfront and in your face, like smoking or something like that. Where it's like, all right, I'm going to have that one cigarette in the morning, but that's it. But that's your practice. But there are plenty of other things like that. There are people who are only gluttonous one day a month. There are people who partake habitually, who do. You can use the word do and not practice. Who do habitually and plan to do habitually. And there are people here that do it. Statistically, it's true. That's what it's talking about. It's talking about your walk. It's talking about the way you typically are. And it's talking about your attitude when you come off of that path. I've used the example before of walking down a sidewalk and there's muddy puddles on either side and you're walking on the path and you're not paying attention. You walk off the path and you're like, oh, come on. And you get back on the path. That's a sight different than you're walking down the path and willfully, once a week, just stomp it in that mud puddle on the side. Those aren't the same thing. So the invitation that we give is a question of, have you started walking the path? But it's also a question of, have you kept on the path? And are you trying to keep on the path? Because that's what it's talking about. When it talks about the person who doesn't have fellowship, the person who doesn't have love, the person who doesn't have this, is lying to themselves about being on the path. Don't lie to yourself about being on the path. If you've got the imperfection, and you know you have the imperfection, and you're not doing anything about the imperfection, or worse yet, you're coddling the imperfection, you're nurturing the imperfection, then you're lost. That's the division. It's not the person that slips up and shakes their foot off and gets back on the sidewalk. It's the person who doesn't care or plans. You need to fix that in your life. If you're in need of the invitation, come forward while we stand and sing.